good to be with you again. As long as you believe you are the body-mind phenomena, you're going to have problems. That's that. I don't care what kind of problems you may think you have. It makes no difference how severe. As long as you believe you are the body-mind phenomena, you're going to have problems. You may feel justified in having problems. You may feel it's not your fault. You may feel it's karma. You may feel all kinds of things. But as long as you believe, when you feel the body mind, you will have problems, because this is the kind of world in which you live. It's a world that doesn't exist. It seems real for most of us. And if we believe we are the body mind, then we believe the world is real. And we believe we have to pray to God for solutions. We do all these things and we still suffer. And the suffering will only stop not when God answers your prayers, but when you awaken to the truth of your own being. Then you're born again, so to speak, in a new reality, and all is well. But you may say to me, but Robert, sometimes you appear to have problems too. Your car may blow up, which it does all the time. Or your physical body doesn't feel too good, or something is going on. My question to you is this. Who sees this? There has to be a seer and an object. You're seeing yourself. When you catch on to your awakening, the world does not change. You just see it differently, that's all. You acquire a feeling of immortality, a feeling of divine bliss, so to speak, where things no longer have the power to affect you. In other words, in the state of enlightenment, cause and effect does not exist for you. But those who are living in the world are going through their karma. And they're beholding themselves everywhere they look. For the world, remember, is only a projection of your mind. Now, what kind of a projection is it? It depends on your state, where you're coming from. We're all looking at the world and we see something different. All we're seeing is ourselves. There are no problems. None exist, none will ever exist. The only problem that exists is what? Who can tell me? You're close. What do I always say? Why does a problem exist? It has to do with your nose. That's right. You are allowing your thoughts to go past your nose. That is the only reason you have a problem. If you catch yourself quick, before it gets past your nose, where's the problem? The problem is in your thought. Only in your thought. When the mind slows down, when the thinking process slows down, where's the problem? It doesn't exist. But if you allow the thoughts to go past your nose, then there are all kinds of problems that you come up with. You believe this is wrong, and this is not right, and this is hurting me, and you become doubtful and suspicious and apprehensive and fearful, and so forth, because you're thinking. You may say, how can you exist without thinking? Quite well, thank you. The trees do not have to think. The grass does not have to think. The world does not have to think in itself. Everything is taken care of. There's a power that knows how to take care of everything. And it will also take care of your body, so-called, if you stop thinking. But as long as you think I am the body, then you have to take care of your body and watch it and feed it aspirin and cold remedies and proper foods and do all kinds of strange things with your body. But your body and your mind are not your friend. They come under a law of their own. Did your body ask you today, this morning, it was time to get up and get up? Did it ask your permission? It does what it wants. You have nothing to do with the body or the mind. When you become depressed, does your mind ask you if it can become depressed? It does what it wants. When you become fearful, does your mind ask your permission? It does what it wants. When your body catches a cold, does it ask you if it can catch a cold? It does what it wants. But what have you got to do with those things? A lady called me this morning from Santa Cruz. And she asked me, how long do I have to come to satsang before I become my self realized? So I told her, before I answer, let me ask you, what do you mean by I? And what do you mean by satsang? And she hung up. I wonder why she did that. But it's something we can talk about, or I can talk about, since I have nothing else to know. How long do I have to come to such time? I. How long does I have to come to satsang? Does I need to come to satsang? What is this elusive I? What does it mean? How long does I have to come to satsang? The reason you call it I is because you've misinterpreted the I. You identify the I with the body. So you're saying, how long do I have to come to satsang? And what is satsang? Sat means being. Being with the self. Therefore, I and satsang are the same thing. What this means is, satsang is your everyday experience. It's not a place you go to. It's how you live your life. I makes a separation, but there is no separation. There's one whole, and you are that. But as long as you're separating I from yourself, then you always question. I feel sick. I feel happy. I feel depressed. I feel out of sorts. Who is this I? Where did it come from? How did it originate? What is its source? Find out. Dive deep with them and find out where the I came from. A good way to do this is before you go to sleep, say to yourself, I'm going to find my I when I get up this morning. Just before you wake up, before you start thinking, the I presents itself as I am, as pure consciousness. Catch it then. That's the best time to catch it. As soon as you awaken in the morning, in that split second, before you wake up and start thinking, before the thoughts come of the world, that is the time to catch the I am, the absolute reality. For at that moment, this is exactly what you are, pure awareness. And then the thought comes and covers it up. So remember this. If you ask yourself when you go to sleep, you tell yourself, tomorrow morning, as soon as I open my eyes, I am going to identify with my source I am. And you will. Even if for a second, it will change your life. And as you keep doing this every morning, every morning, every morning, the time between your awakening and the thought coming to you will become larger. That space will expand and expand and expand until you're able to stay in your awareness. Of course, at that time, there will no longer be a you. There will only be the awareness. Try it. You have to investigate. You have to intelligently dive deep within yourself and find the source of your I. Do not accept your feelings. Do not accept your thoughts. Do not watch yourself feeling miserable and you do nothing about it. Or you can become the witness to it. That'll help too. But it's better to ask, why am I feeling miserable? And realize that you said, why am I feeling miserable? I am identifying with my body as I. Again, a mistake. The I in itself is pure harmony, joy, happiness. But when you identify the I with your body-mind, it becomes the personal I, which doesn't even exist. But you're making it exist. You're identifying with it. Why do you want to identify with your personal I? Your personal I never existed. Why have you befriended it? Why do you keep giving it power? Why do you make it grow? Take your power back. Expose yourself, the real you, and forget all this nonsense about the mind and the body and thoughts and the world and God and everything else that appears to be real. Compare yourself with no one. Be true to yourself. Never mind how much progress somebody else is making. Forget about saints and sages and other people. You are the only one that ever existed. And there's no one but you. You are all the sages and the saints and the seers. You are everything. Everything is the self, and you are that. Why not awaken to this? Why do you want to play games with yourself so long? By believing in reincarnation, that you have to come back again and again and again, and hoping to have a better life next time? There is no better life. As long as you are born of the flesh, you have to suffer. This is the way of the flesh. Do not try to improve your life. You're making a big mistake. Well, there's no question about it. If you use positive thinking and you use your mind, you may appear to improve your life. But remember, this world in which you live is a world of duality. For every up, there's a down. For every forward, there's a backward. For every good, there's a bad. Therefore, whatever improvement comes into your life, it will last for a while, then will subside, and you'll become miserable again. Then you will be happy again when you get what you want. And that'll last, and then you'll be miserable again. You'll start sticking up for your rights and fighting for your survival. And if you get what you want, you'll be happy again. You're like a yo-yo. You go up and down, up and down. And no matter how much I talk to you about these things, you're going to keep on doing it. So why am I talking? I don't know. I have no choice. You know, I never asked to do this. Strange, nothing stood out. All I know is that all is well. and everything is unfolding as it should. All I know is that happiness is your true nature. That you are not what you appear to be. And things are not what they appear to be. Nothing can ever happen to you. Why do you worry so much? What are you afraid of? Your life? You have no life. What you call your life is nothing. It doesn't exist. It's nothing. You worried about your hair falling out? You worried about needing a new pair of shoes? You're getting fat? What a waste of energy. It's like feeding the dead horse. We're all going to wind up in the cemetery. So what difference does it make what you've done? Last week I was talking to a bodybuilder. He was telling me about his muscles. And what he does for this muscle and what he does for that muscle. And how well he eats. So I told him, that's great, you'll be the healthiest man in the cemetery. And that's about the gist of it. Why not use your energy for constructive purposes? Now, this does not mean that you ignore your body. Your body will always take care of itself. As a matter of fact, the more you practice your sadhana, or realizing your true identity, your body will be able to take better care of itself than you ever were able to take care of it. Because it comes under a different law. It knows what to do. It will do whatever it came to this world to do. But it has absolutely nothing to do with you. When will you wake up to that fact? Stop thinking about yourself so much. About getting a new job, about losing your job, about working, about not working. No one is ever happy. Those people who work are miserable because they have to work. And those people who don't work are miserable because they can't find a job. And when they find a job, they join the miserable ones who can't stand the job. Where is peace? Peace is your real nature. It's within you. It is you. Look for it and you'll find it. Seek and you shall find. Whatever you identify with, that's what you become. Therefore, stop identifying with worldly things. Identify with yourself. Now, how do you do this? It begins in the morning, as I told you before. That's the time when your mind has been free because you've slept. You've had a semblance of peace. Being in deep sleep is an unconscious method of self-realization. You realize when you're asleep that you're unconscious. So you're not aware of it. You want to be consciously asleep. When you're consciously asleep, you're awake. You're awake to yourself, to reality, to what is, to who I am. You get up in the morning immediately, before the thoughts come. Identify with the self. Now you do this. Simply say to yourself, I. That's all you've got to do. I. You're doing this before the thoughts come. Maybe in the beginning you can only do this for a couple of seconds, but that's good. Even those couple of seconds will make your day fulfilled. You'll feel happy during the day. As time passes, as I explained before, the space will widen. And you'll be able to remain longer periods in I. Now when the thoughts come, simply ask yourself, to whom do these thoughts come? They come to me, and you hold on to the me. You do not let go. But do not concentrate on the me, you just hold on to the me. You concentrate on the source of me. It's like you're holding onto a rope, and you're going to its source, and you let go. Letting go is the source. Total awareness, absolute reality. I am that I am. Do not try to analyze this. Just allow it to be. As you keep doing this every morning, either watching the eye or asking them, do the thoughts come? You will notice subtle changes taking place in your life. The first change you will see is you will develop a semblance of peace which you never had before. You will just not be disturbed by anything. And you will be surprised at yourself. You will notice the things that used to make you angry no longer have the power to do that. You will notice that the things you feared, for instance, depression, recession, loss of memory, whatever. Your wife ran away with the milkman. Maybe that's a good sign. But these things will no longer disturb you. You'll just feel good. You'll feel good all over. And that will turn into pure happiness. You're just happy for no reason. Can you imagine what it feels like just to be happy without interruption? For no reason. It has absolutely nothing to do with the world. It doesn't mean you go around laughing hysterically all the time. It means you just feel happy. You hear about the war in Iraq, you're happy. There's no war in Iraq, you're still happy. You work, you're happy. You don't work, you're happy. You have possessions, you're happy. You don't have possessions, you're happy. In other words, it makes no difference what the world may seem to bring to you. You are no longer identifying with the world and its objects. You're seeing the world as yourself, or you're beginning to, slowly but surely. Everything begins to take on a projection of yourself. And since you're beginning to discover that you are pure consciousness, the world starts becoming pure consciousness also. It's like going to a movie and the screen is pure consciousness. The images are the world. Prior to your awakening, you've been identifying with the images, and you have no idea there's a screen. Oh, you know it's somewhere in your mind. There's a slight image of a screen, but you don't think of that because the images are very entertaining. You watch a love movie or a war movie or this kind of a movie and that kind of a movie, and you get all wrapped up in the objects. But of course, if you try to go up to the screen to grab any object, you're going to grab the screen. This is what happens when you awaken. You realize that you are the screen, which is consciousness, and you realize that everything in the world, everything, the whole universe, including God, is superimposed on you. It's not reality, it's a superimposition. But you identify with the screen, which is consciousness, and you tolerate the superimposition. Yet you realize it's not you. You have nothing to do with it, and you do not identify with it. So in the same instance, your body goes through all kinds of experiences, good and bad and in between. But you are always aware that you are not the body. And nobody exists for you. You know in reality, there is no superimposition at all. It does not exist. It appears to exist, but it is not. It's like hypnosis. You're hypnotized to believe a white poodle is following you. And sure enough, when you wake up out of hypnosis, you keep looking back, you will actually see a white poodle. Your mind will actually picture the white poodle, and you will believe it's real. Nobody else will see it but you will, until the hypnosis wears off. In the same way, we see people, places, and things, and they appear so real to us. We identify with them and we suffer accordingly. But as you practice every morning, catching yourself between waking up and thoughts coming, little by little, slowly but surely, you will begin to realize yourself more and more. And the day will come when you awaken. Never mind how long it takes. Do not look at time. Think of how long it took you to be what you are now. Be yourself. Identify with your reality. Try to be by yourself at times. Be aware that the world is egoless. The world has no cause. So where's the effect? There's no effect if there's no cause. How can the world have a cause? Where would it come from? When you dream, you can say that your dream has a cause. You are the cause, because you're dreaming. But can you say that while you're dreaming? While you're dreaming, and you're in the dream, you believe that the world has a cause, like everybody else does. And you get involved in your everyday activities in the dream. You have good experiences and you have bad experiences. And then I come along and tell you you're dreaming, but you don't believe me. You're saying, I'll show you I'm not dreaming, Robert, and you pinch me. And I say, ow. So you say, see, is that a dream? And I try to explain to you, it's a dream pinch. But you don't believe it. You think it's real. Then you go across the street, and then you're walking down the street, and a car hits you. And you're bleeding all over the street. And I run over and I tell you, you're dreaming, don't be too upset. It's okay. And you start cursing at me and shaking your fist at me. How can you say that? Look, I'm bleeding all over the place. Then something funny happens. You wake up. Where did the dream go? Where did the blood go? Where did the car that hit you go? Think of your personal experiences that are upsetting you right now. Think of the problems that you think you have. Even while I'm talking to you, some of your minds are thinking of something else. Problems. And you believe it's real. You're thinking of who you like, who you don't like. What you're going to eat for dinner tonight. All these thoughts come to you because you have not trained yourself how to deal with the thoughts. And you've got preconceived ideas, you've got concepts. As an example, you come and you look at me. You don't see me fresh and new, like you see yourself. But you compare me with Krishnamurti, or with this guy, or with Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, or with Nisargadatta, or with the garbage cleaner, or with the janitor, or with whomever you wish to compare me with. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Your mind becomes filled with preconceived ideas. I am really nobody. I am nothing special. So what you see in me is not real. You're seeing your own projections. You're seeing yourself, in other words. And if you have not developed yourself and have awakened to pure consciousness, then you're seeing something worldly. And you make comparisons. You say, I like, I don't like, it's good, it's bad, and so forth. You've got to take control of your mind. You've got to realize your mind and your body are not your friend. They feed you the wrong information. It may appear right for a while, but then it becomes wrong again. Do not listen to your mind. Stop the thoughts before they get to the edge of your nose. That's all I've got to say. The postcard from India. It's an interesting card. It used to come to our classes when we were in Jeff's house. Would you like to read?
Robert, you just came to mind simultaneously the feeling of tensionless openness. As I gazed out the window at the smog-shrouded city of Taichung below, the multifaceted pollution of Taiwan often feels like an obstruction to the clarity that I've come to live for. The body-mind feels dense, but I know it's just a passing cloud. Nothing changes the space. I've been reading I Am That daily, often letting go of the message the words contain to get a gradual, nebulous glimpse of Maharaj's vision. Whether I like it or don't know it or not, my ship is burning, inevitably my ship of dreams. Richard Walker spoke to me about the Four Noble Truths that you related to me. It all seemed clear when he stated them. But perhaps if you could write to me about them, they would serve as a good reminder and focus. That last part is irrelevant, but I share this on you with you in spirit always, peace and me. Eric sends his love and regards.
So whoever has a tape on the four principles, make a copy of something else on in Taiwan. I'll remind you about our Christmas dinner and the celebration of Ramana Maharshi's birthday, which is December the 30th. We're going to combine them both. So remember, it's December the 30th. As I mentioned to some of you before, everybody got here. People are calling me and asking me when the Thanksgiving dinner is going to be. So it's December 30th for Christmas. Okay, are there any questions you'd like to ask about anything?
You said one time that as long as there's a feeling, there's somebody. So that is, in a sense, what the I is. It's like those things arising that you sort of take credit for, whether it's an emotion or a thought or a body feeling.
That's the personal I.
Right.
And all the feelings and all the emotions are attached to the personal I. When you get rid of the personal I, everything else goes. Therefore, the proper method is not to try to change your feelings or your emotions, but rather to realize that I is experiencing my emotions and my feelings. And you follow I to the source. When you get to the source of I, the feelings and the emotions will both subside.
I was seeing that as kind of an addiction in a way. That's what I want to be, is I want to be those feelings and the body sensations and all that.
Do you want to be the human emotions, the human feelings?
Well, I thought I did until I faced that. You know, now I see that emptiness is so much better, so much better.
See, that's something interesting you said. Emptiness is so much better. Now, that sounds strange to most people. How can emptiness be better than human love or human happiness? Again, there are no words to describe it because it's ineffable. You have to realize what emptiness really means. Emptiness means that no thing exists in it. No human concept, no human feeling, no human entity. Where there's total emptiness, there's absolute reality. And absolute reality is total bliss, happiness, and joy. And it's omnipresence. So you not only feel it personally, but you have become the whole universe. And you see it wherever you look, and you hear it wherever you listen. Somebody else may be expressing some inharmony or some depression. Man's and humanity's of man may still appear to be going on. Yet you are seeing yourself because you have become omnipresence. And wherever you look, there's the self. And the self is pure consciousness, and that's you. So you see that everywhere you look. That transcends all the feelings. But it's something you have to experience for yourself. The one who used to feel has been destroyed, annihilated. Therefore, there are no feelings and there are no sensations. But there is unalloyed happiness, absolute reality, which is beyond human explanation. For the finite can never comprehend the infinite. There are no words to make you know how to feel. Experience it for yourself and find out.
It's sort of like you don't really know that there's anything beyond it until the experience really happens.
That's right.
You can't really get it any other way.
That's right. It's got to happen. If it doesn't happen, you'll never know.
An article I read once, someone asked, are you willing to sacrifice forms of love from another in order to experience this? You know, in other words, can you give up feeling as two separate entities when the love seems to come from the outside? And it was a real profound thing for you to consider.
Well, that's a little wrong phraseology because you do not give up anything, really.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm not remembering, but the effect of me was to rethink, you know, re-see everything, kind of.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, do not think you have to give up anything. You gain. There's nothing you really give up. You just see it differently. It doesn't mean if you're in love with somebody of the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever you prefer, that you're going to have to give somebody up. Your love will just be different. It will be more open, more omnipresent. Deeper. So you really don't give anything up, you just see it differently. You react to it completely differently. All jealousy is gone, fear is gone, emotion is gone. You no longer think of thoughts like, what if she leaves me, what if he leaves me, what will happen then? All that is gone because you become consciousness. And you're just happy. All the time. And no one can ever take it away, whatever they do. They can stab you, they can cut off your head, they can take away your house and your car, but your happiness does not go away. Your happiness remains. It has nothing to do with things. So what do you think about all this? Is it worth the effort? Some people tell me, I guess I just stepped out of a lot of faith. That's not true. As you begin to work on yourself, you see almost immediate results. As I mentioned before, your humanhood does improve in many ways. For you're no longer attending to it. And when you no longer attend to your humanhood, universal law comes into play. It takes care of you better than you can ever take care of yourself. So you do see human results. And as you see results, of course, it makes you jump in deeper. Until the day comes when you awaken completely and become free. Well, if you don't want to say anything, I'll play some more music. If anyone wants to speak about anything, oh, I don't know. I'm going to go to hell with it.
There is something I notice, I'm aware of, that as I really sort of contemplate the truth of things, I let projects that I'm very interested in doing kind of slip, which is perfectly all right, except that I get great joy when I finish that project and it's manifested in a way from my past experience. It brings me a certain amount of human pleasure, but get into a dilemma where I may end up just letting it slide and slide, which could be called procrastination, or could be called lack of ego energy behind it to see it through. It's, I feel like it's sort of a dilemma.
Well, of course, that's a human problem. I'm not really too interested in those problems because they don't exist. But I will tell you again, if you work on yourself and you question yourself, who has these feelings? To whom do they come? And realize I do. Now that's the personal I. Follow the I through to the source. And while you're doing those things every day, the outer life will change. You'll find the procrastination going away, if it's possible. But make it worse. And you'll give up the project. But something will give, which will make you happier than you've ever been before. But as you practice self-inquiry, things will happen to improve your humanhood and your situation. There's a law of the universe, again, and knows how to take care of every detail of your body. Karmically, you came here as a body, which doesn't exist. As long as you believe it does. Your body came here for a specific reason. And you're going to go through that, whatever it is. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to want it. You don't have to desire it. Your body will go through whatever purpose it can have. Therefore, center yourself on the I. Follow the I to the source and become free. Again, everything else will take care of itself. I know it's difficult to understand and realize if I don't take care of my needs and my wants and my desires, who will? That's wrong thinking. We've been brought up to believe unless I do it, it will not be done. that's your own is, grab a hold of that I who has to do it and see who that I really is. It is the I that is identified with the work. When you remove the I from the work, then you become yourself and the work gets done better. Without any thought, try it, it works.
Robert, it seems to me you're saying that we can have our faith related to it.
Why not?
It doesn't seem to work that way. This question is made about projects, because we talked about that before. I've asked you about creativity and imagination. And again, it seems to me that in order to accomplish anything, there has to be this desire. And although you say, I mean, I know your answer, you say that you don't have to give it up. You say continue with it. You say that detachment will get you to a higher level. But in actual fact, it doesn't seem to work that way. It seems that the only way to accomplish anything is to allow the desire to be kindled and to allow it to flame.
So it seems to me, who is this me? Get rid of this me and see if you have the same attitude. When the me has gotten out of the way, that kind of a question will not arise. But your work will go on, even better than it before. But get yourself out of the way, your small self. And see what happens. That's what you've got to do. Just watch. In a calm, gentle way, get yourself out of the way. For me.
But why should we really want to persist in this? If we accept that the teaching is true, and that the reality is beyond the projected film, why bother with these things?
Because who accepts? Your ego. And it's still your ego that's playing games with you. And your ego accepts and rejects. What would happen if there were no ego? You would have unalloyed happiness. And that question wouldn't come up. But you have to find out for yourself. I can lead you to the vein of gold, but you've got to do the digging for yourself. And if you work on it and see for yourself what will happen, you'll see what I'm saying is correct. You have to investigate sincerely. Dive deep within yourself. Awaken. And then you'll see. Yes, because for your karma, so to speak, which does not exist, which you think it does, takes care of all that. Everything has been preordained before you came here. Whatever your body is supposed to do is going to do. And whatever you're not supposed to do, you will not be able to do no matter how hard you try. So why fight?
The will is.
Yes. To whom comes the will? To the ego. If there were no ego, there'd be no will. The will is part of the ego. When the will goes, everything else goes.
You speak of a personal I.
The personal I is the ego and the will. Same thing.
Personal I.
It's God or yourself.
Yeah.
The absolute. I, the real I, is the same as pure intelligence. Absolute reality. When you think of the real I, it's omnipresence. it is not personal. The I is the whole universe, everything. I am that. All this is the self, and I am that.
Another way of saying the same thing, that the personal I is that which identifies with whatever it identifies with, and the impersonal one is that which doesn't identify with anything.
Sure, you can say that if you like. You can say anything you like, just get rid of it.
I know there are a lot of yoni types in this room, but I wish we had more chanting. Chanting is good. I went to the Hare Krishna temple last night. Great, great, fantastic chanting.
I didn't bring the chanting tape today. Some people tell me they hate the chant. Some people love the chant. What am I going to do?
I'm
I have to do what comes. So sometimes we have chanting, sometimes we don't. But if you feel funny about those things, either for or against, ask yourself, why do I feel this way? To whom does this feeling come? And again, you get back to the personal I. When you find the source of the personal I, all these needs and wants and likes and dislikes will disappear. They're not big friends. Don't believe it or disbelieve it. Do you believe you're in the body?
Unfortunately, yes.
Then there's a personal God. Don't you see, as long as you are the body, there's also God. You have created your God in your image. But you believe in the body, so there is a God. You should. You just can't say, I don't believe. Just like I say, karma doesn't exist. Reincarnation doesn't exist. The universe doesn't exist. The world doesn't exist. God doesn't exist. But as long as you feel or you identify with the body-mind phenomena, all those things do exist for you. So you've got to pay homage to the God of karma, Ishvara. Or maybe you like to call God Jehovah. Or maybe you like to call God. It is real because the body is real. When the body image falls away from your mind, and your mind falls away, everything else goes with it. So don't fool yourself. It's not what you want. You can't say to yourself, I believe this and I don't believe that. Those are just dry words. It makes no difference what you believe or you don't believe. It's what you are which determines what happens to you. When you quiet your mind, your body and your mind will both disappear. So try to keep your mind quiet. Keep it from thinking. And everything will take care of itself. So as long as we believe we're the body, chanting, music, makes you one-pointed. It mellows you out. Makes you calm and cool and peaceful. Remember, music suits the savage beast.
Just on the subject of music, say that you do have a great love for music and appreciation. Say that you're a good just sitting in front of the piano, you know, just without the ambition and discipline, you would never achieve anything. There has to be some discipline and ambition mixed in. Now, I'm only speaking for myself.
At a human level, you're right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. As long as you believe you're the body-mind phenomenon, what you're saying is real. It's true.
Well, this vacant self could sit in front of the piano, and what would happen. Nothing particularly would happen. I know that you can hear it. I mean, you hear it within yourself. All of the wonderful compositions that your mind could create without expressing your the instrument.
Well, first become yourself and then tell me what the vacant self is doing. Become yourself first and see if you want to play the piano.
I just think that this is a dilemma that not only I feel, but the gentleman over here, this idea of ambition.
Which gentleman is that?
I was thinking how I had discovered Yogananda and yoga when I was like 17 or 18. And got very involved in it, and then I reached a crucial point where my ambition was starting to come forth. I knew what the truth was, but I had to put it aside, and I took up the Nathaniel Hill type of, where you have to revel your engine of desire and focus and go after it, which I did, and it brought a certain amount of.
Of course it would.
Success.
Humanly it would.
Yes, humanly. And I kept wanting that the rewards of the spiritual pursuit would match those that, however temporary they were that I could achieve in the unreal world.
Well, look
world.
What you're saying, though. You're saying, I want this and I want that.
Right.
Who wants and who has to have?
I don't know.
Find out. Yogananda was Yogananda. You're talking about Yogananda. He's a great person, but remember, he was not a yogi. He did not teach the path of Yanamarga. It's a different path completely, but it's a beautiful path if you want to go on that path.
Well,
it means knowledge, absolute knowledge.
Yanni.
Depends what part of India you come from.
Do you realize how tough it though it is for say a person who is ambitious? You're still trying to burn up your.
You have to weigh all the factors. You have to see what's going on. If you just realize that all of your ambitions will fall by the wayside soon. Because you'll get too old to be able to practice anymore. And you'll be in a wheelchair.
I could have a lobotomy and move on.
You can if you like, but when you have a lobotomy, everything goes dumb. But here you're becoming more conscious. You're becoming your conscious self. You're finding out who you really are. But look at it this way. Does what you call God want to play the piano? Does God have to have a profession?
No.
So when you become that yourself, you will see who needs the rest.
I do understand what you're saying. I know it's the truth. It is just, in those moments, like around Wednesday or whatnot, where I start looking back at the computer and thinking, if I don't get this particular scene done, or this thing I'm doing will ever be manifested.
As long as you're coming from where you're coming from, you better get it done. You're right. But while you're practicing, your profession also practice this.
Yeah.
And see what happens. I'm not saying that you have to give up anything.
But it's foolish to think that you'd even combine the two.
Practice what I tell you and then see what happens. But keep up your profession. Don't give up anything. And you'll see for yourself. You have to investigate within yourself as I tell you every once in a while, do not believe me. Why should you accept what I say? I may be a blabbering idiot. Don't accept anything I say, but find out for yourself. Experiment with yourself and see for yourself what happens.
I find it
invigorating
to listen to people who are absolutely not trying to I think this thought, you have to practice, you have to have a vision, this is for prevention.
As a human being, you have to have all those things, of course.
Right, but after you learn a technique or you find yourself as a human being in profession, you can forget about it, even the motivation, even the passion, even the trying, and that's going to be your best training. Just constantly.
Why even do creative? Ultimate would be,
see, you don't know. Remember, it's the Ayani that asked the question. So you're coming from your viewpoint. But practice the teaching and find out for yourself what happens. And you'll be surprised. There is no separation whatsoever. Your studies and anything you do is part of yourself. How can you separate yourself? You cannot.
You sort of think there's a reality other than what's happening here, and that's where those kind of questions come from.
Yes.
But there really is no other. This is the self.
This is it.
This is it.
Except if you're suffering, you're just not perceiving it rightly. But this is all you get. There's nothing else. But what is the it I'm talking about? The it is absolute reality. Satchitananda. I am that I am. That's it. But if you want to see something else, what can I do? Is there anything you do when you awaken? Is there anything to do?
To bring about
awakening? Is that what you're asking?
Chose to limit itself.
consciousness is self-contained. It is the power that knows itself. And it knows itself as that I am. When you're experiencing consciousness, everything else disappears. And you live spontaneously. You will do whatever you have to do at the time, and then go on to something else. And as I said before, the body will continue doing whatever it came here to do. But you will not be the doer. You will realize I am not the doer. I am consciousness. That type of awakening will come to you. And everything will take care of itself, so you don't have to worry about a thing. Be free and happy now. Do not concern yourself over those things. Realize your true identity and be done with it. For the human body. See, catch yourself when you say, I can't conceive. That's where you're supposed to catch yourself. And ask yourself, who is this I that can't conceive? Because I can't conceive, what does that mean? It means nothing. Who am I? In other words, don't feel because you cannot conceive at this stage of your unfoldment that it doesn't exist. But rather find out who the I is. Those things it cannot conceive. Always go back to the I. And all the questions will stop.
When you say follow the source of the I,
no, I didn't say follow the source.
Or I said follow
the I to
the
source.
Right, okay. That's a little vague. Years ago, when I was involved with being a shaman, the guy would get in the car, I'd follow the car, and we would do the car.
That's a little tricky.
Well, I hope it's not the same as being a detective. I'm glad it's not the same as being a detective. Of course it's different. Okay, look at it this way. Whenever something comes to you that you don't understand, instead of trying to figure it out mentally, ask yourself the question, who does not understand? And the answer will come of its own volition, I don't. Then you continue in the query and you ask, who is this I who does not understand? Who is I don't? And that's the I you follow. You simply observe the I within yourself like a thread. And you follow the thread to the end, to the source. When you get to the source, there'll be a complete revelation of your true identity. And you'll be free of all questions. So whatever comes up, use the same procedure. If you feel depressed, or if you feel suspicious, or if you feel angry, ask yourself, to whom do these things come? Then you'll finally realize, after doing this for a while, that all of your problems are attached to the personal I. And when you get rid of the personal I, everything else will go with it and you'll be free. So you stop trying to solve problems on the outside. Whose fault it is, and who did this to me, and who did that to me. And I'm feeling bad, and this is wrong, and this is right. You will know all of the time that all of these things have to do with your I. Because you say, I feel bad, I feel depressed, I feel suspicious, I feel doubtful. They're all attached to the I. And all you've got to do is to witness the I, observe it, do nothing to change it, but watch it. And watch it as it goes deeper and deeper into your heart. Then one day it will just vanish, and you will appear as you are. Practice and see for yourself.
You're observing, but you've also said you don't concentrate on it.
No, you do not concentrate on it, you just observe it and watch it. And follow it to its end. You concentrate on the source, but not on the personal eye. That's your observation. You witness the personal eye. All of its souls, its souls, and will disappear. When you concentrate on your personal eye, it's like concentrating on an erroneous conclusion. You're concentrating on your ego, so your ego becomes stronger. The I will become stronger. Whatever you give your attention to, whatever you give your effort to, becomes stronger. So you want to give all your effort to the source, not to the personal I. Because the personal I does not exist, and you want to prove that by observing it in action, by watching it, by following it to the end. I mean by watching it, as you watch the personal eye and you go deeper within the self, you will find that it comes to the end. You're following the eye to its culmination, to the end. It happens by itself.
You just watch yourself, it's like you become aware of what you're doing.
You become aware that I am doing. Not what you're doing actually, but I am doing. I. And you say to yourself, I. And you go deeper and deeper within yourself.
That's not concentration.
No. You're following. You're observing. You're watching. And one day that I will disappear completely. And you'll be in peace.
Robert, is that like saying, don't try to be the awareness, but notice that you already are?
Yes. Essentially. You don't try to become anything. You're just getting rid of that which has been bothering you all these years. And that's the personal I.
My personal I, as far as I'm concerned, is not, if you see a personal I in operation, you look at it, just observe it, it's gone. There's another one there, but it's totally different than the one before that. There's no connection between them.
The I is always the same. Therefore, as I said, the whole universe, all your problems, everything is attached to the I. And all you have to do is focus on the I. And follow it, and it will disappear with all your problems.
What?
try what I mentioned before. When you go to sleep tonight, say, I'm going to concentrate in the morning on my source, I am. That's not a personalized I am. And you go to sleep. And when you wake up, before you start to think about the world, you will remember what to do. And you'll say, I to yourself. Then you'll see the feelings that come and that will happen to you.
I did that the other night. First thing that happened, as I'm rising to wakefulness, I had kind of a dream or a vision, I don't know what the devil it is. I'm on some kind of a craft, a raft or a boat. And it's like I'm trying to locate myself in this presence. I don't see anybody, but there's like four or five others. And then I came awake, and the first thought that came into my mind, this is a very strange thing. First thing that came into my mind was Argon. And I thought, wow, that's a gas. So I looked in the dictionary, and it's a gas of putting illuminating in bulbs has a specific weight. Right above that, I happen to notice the Argonauts. Jason and the Argonauts take off on a raft looking for the Golden Fleece. And that's kind of peculiar, because that's what I was dreaming about, being on a raft or a boat. You know?
Well, that's a nice dream, but you have to go beyond it. You have to ask yourself, to whom did the dream come? And again, I dreamt. It's I again. You go right back to your I, don't you? Because I had the dream. And you want to annihilate the I. Take out your gun and shoot it. You want to get rid of the I completely. Then all the dreams will go, everything will go with it. Don't make it complicated. Just get rid of the eye and you'll be at peace. Remember to love yourself, to pray to yourself, to bow to yourself, to kneel to yourself. Because God dwells in you as you. Peace. Thanks for coming. You have a good week. I love you. That's all there is. This paper never changed.